Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. Corey Curtis from News 2 will join us at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans roster cutdown day and looking ahead to week one. And this team's readiness for week one with Corey Curtis a little bit later coming up at 8 o'clock. We will have our first fantasy football giveaway coming up here in just a few minutes for this week. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Brian Callahan providing an update over the weekend on Calvin Ridley, Tavondre Sweat, and J.C. Latham, who have all missed varying lengths of time. And this is what Brian Callahan had to say on the injury front from those guys over the weekend.
What's the latest with Calvin, JC, and Tavondre, and how do you handle guys like that heading into the season?
Yeah, this part of this training camp's not over, but for the most part, we're trying to start to get guys back now. You know, I thought we had a hard camp. I thought it was physical. It's time to start bringing some legs back and getting guys fresh and ready to roll. So we'll manage that stuff. As far as those guys go, it's getting them back into it and making sure we're ready to roll. I think all those guys are tracking for week one without, you know, a ton of concern at the moment. But, you know, we'll see how the practice week goes. But it's time to get those guys back and get moving and get ready to go play football for real. So feel good about where they're all at, but we got to manage that and make sure we're doing the right things by them so they're back and ready to roll for week one.
So Callahan says those guys are tracking for week one without a ton of concern at the moment. So it sounds like all three of those guys should be good to go. I'm not really all that worried about Ridley and Latham. Like, it doesn't sound like it's anything overly serious with those guys. And we know it's not anything serious with Sweat from the standpoint of it's a tonsillectomy that he's coming back from. However, we talked about with Sweat last week, Joe, he's missed a lot of time in camp. And I think there has been this natural assumption that from year one to year two, you're going to see Tavondre Sweat improve a lot, and that combination with him and Simmons is going to be really good up the middle, and maybe it will. I hope it will. But I don't love how much camp that he missed, and as Kuharski said last week, like, particularly with young players, when you miss that much camp, it almost always is a problem in some way or some form. And you're talking about a guy that has, you know, talked about losing weight and trying to get in the best possible shape, and now you're not having gone through training camp basically for the most part, and you're beginning week one in the altitude in Denver. So I'm interested to see how quickly into the season Sweat in particular is able to catch this moving train and get to whatever level it is that he needs to get to this year, if he can do it, and what that looks like.
Yeah, he's a huge question. No doubt. And I didn't – it's not like he was looked like dramatically different or anything. Like, Latham looks dramatically different from last year, right? He's gotten in tremendous shape. I don't know – like, Tavondre Sweat may just be a guy – like, he just may not – like, you may not be able to really tell. He's never going to tell you what he's weighing, all that stuff. But I just – it's not like there was this huge transformation or anything like that. I think he's got a chance to be a really good player. But I also wonder, like, does he just need to get to a different level of conditioning? And when you miss all this camp, what's going on there? Are you putting weight on? You know, I mean, like, I don't know. Tonsillectomy, I guess.
Yeah,
I mean, I eat less, I guess, right? But he's a big question. And this also brings up the TDs projection of the four guys on the D-line. You know, it's like I kind of feel like they might just need more depth than that, and especially early. Like you said, you got the altitude game coming right out here. I mean, I still think, like, Simmons and Sweat could be as problematic for opponents as any aspect of this team, but I don't know that for sure from him. Like, I think Simmons is going to be good this year. I think he's primed to have a good year. If Sweat takes a step, it could be really good. But at this point, it is a little bit concerning that he's missed so much time.
Well, and remember, like, they also talked earlier in the offseason about Sweat and his next step is the pass rush and getting after the quarterback, right? Like he did not impact the quarterback very much last year. Now, with the position that he plays and with his physical profile, like I don't know that I ever need T'Vondre Sweat to walk away with 7 sacks in a season. But like it would be, especially with where I think this team is at edge rusher right now, it would be a very welcome development if he was putting more pressure on the quarterback on a consistent basis this year, certainly compared to last year. So is he going to be able to do that? Like, is that something that's noticeably different with him throughout the first 6-7 weeks of the year? Or are we getting halfway through the season again and you're looking around and it's like, well, T'Vondre Sweat's really not impacted the quarterback all that much? Again, it's not the most important thing from his role and his position, but they need – I mean, look, they need all the help they could get getting after the quarterback with how this defense is currently constructed.
Yeah, if you're consistently moving the quarterback off his spot, that definitely matters. You still need to, yeah, make some tackles behind the line of scrimmage and kill drives. I mean, if you had like 12 sacks between Simmons and Sweat, to me, that would be – and I would expect that to break down something like 8-4 Simmons.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like that number sounds good. But again – if it's 7 between them, but they're consistently, which is possible, but they're consistently disrupting and causing problems and in giving the edge rushers, you know, single assignments all constantly because people have to deal with them. Okay, well, then, and then you get sacks from like Arden Key and Oladejo and whoever, then okay, then that works too. Consistently moving the pocket, you know, that's what you got to see. Someone's got to make tackles.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Someone tackling the quarterback behind the line of scrimmage would be good.
That would be nice. It would be nice to see that. So I mean, that is, you know, obviously when you're running down the list of things that we're keeping an eye on with the Titans to begin the season, a lot of it's going to be on the offensive side of the ball with the quarterback. We're going to be watching edge rusher. I got a feeling pretty closely throughout the year. Legarius Sneed, like how much is he playing in week 1? I mean, there's a lot of things we're looking for the Titans. Not too far down the list is going to be like Sweat. Like how much is he able to play week 1? How much of an impact is he making? What's that combination of he and Simmons looking like? Because I still think if you're looking at the defensive side of the ball, they need those two together to be the strength of the defense. I don't know that they're necessarily equipped to have any other part of the defense be the strength of the defense. So it's got to be those two. Like they've got to have a monster year for the Titans.
Yeah. And if Sweat is ready. Again, there's got to be some acclimating, and I'm sure they're going to be looking to rotate him out more in that first game, especially.
Yeah,
and be a little bit of a ramp up. But if he does bring that, and then you have Sneed out there, and Simmons is what he looks like he's going to be. You know, you actually have some answers, and you have. That pot's like bubbling over, man. It's some stuff that kind of working out
might
maybe
be,
a little bit.
Might be cooking at that point. Yeah, we'll see. So it is time for our first giveaway of the week for the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. We're going to have one spot to give away from now until Thursday, and then on Friday we will give away 2 spots. So we have 6 open spots in the league. Joe, Ian, and myself have 3. Brennan Rex Road is 4. Kyle, our winner last year, is 5.
Let's go, Kyle.
And Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com is a part of the league again this year, making his return to the league after a decent performance from him a year ago. So we have 6 spots taken.
Decent performance, huh?
He's pretty good. Okay. Yeah, he's fine. Him and Joe both pretty good.
Thanks.
Well, they both like to talk like they're good.
I don't say. I'm trying to get out of the Titans League. You won't let me out.
See how that goes. Yeah. We have 6 spots available. We have traditionally given the spots away via trivia question. We will do that throughout the week. We will revisit that. But we are going to give them away through all sorts of different contests this week. And the first one, frankly, is just how good are you? How quickly can you get this phone call in here to caller number 5 on the phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. We are having our fantasy draft next Wednesday. So you are not required to be there in person for it. It would
be nice though,
if you were there in person for it. So hopefully, if you're trying to be a part of this league, try to have next Wednesday night open for the fantasy draft here. 615-737-1025, caller number 5, will win the first spot of the week in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League.
So we have a variety of ways to get in. I think one day I am hoping to put together the Revenge of the Nerds tricycle race where you have to have a beer every lap and then see how many laps you can do. That's what I'm hoping to do for Thursday or Friday, but we'll see. If we
have a lot of different ways
set up the course
this week. So I figured rather than just trivia questions every day, let's spice it up a little bit this year.
I like it.
Diversify a little bit this year.
That's good. Real quick, Viking Matt says, can we let Cam play some real games before we measure how good he is? So we can't talk about Cam Ward, according to Viking Matt.
Yeah, I mean,
let's wait till like year 4 and then we will not discuss his name at all. He who shall not be named, and then we'll finally say, "Hey, guess who's been quarterback in the Titans the last 4 years? Yeah, let's talk about him."
Voldemort out there at quarterback for the Titans. Let's see whether or not he makes it to the second contract and then we can talk about it.
Viking Matt is a Ward are you doing? He's certainly not a Cam Do.
That's right. That's right. Going to hear a lot of that this year. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, the SEC has moved to a 9-game conference schedule starting next year. Rex Road, at different points on this program, has been screaming about that for years. So they've done it. We'll get his thoughts on that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up at 7:45. Corey Curtis from News 2 at 8 o'clock. A lot of people calling in trying to get into the Fantasy Football League. We got more spots throughout the week. We're giving away in different ways. So you'll have your opportunity throughout this week. You've got 5 more spots.
Yep, Mr. G just missed here. But you keep trying. Yep. We'll have different ways.
Congratulations to Justin Johnson, who is the winner of our first spot.
There you go. Alliteration.
Rex Road Fantasy Football League.
We welcome alliteration.
Justin, welcome to the league. And we are looking forward to filling up the rest of the spots this week. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Joe, the SEC has moved to a 9-game conference schedule beginning in 2026. There will be, as we discussed on Friday, 3 permanent opponents in the rotation, and then the other 6 will be alternating on a yearly basis. We don't know exactly what those opponents are going to look like yet. My guess is, for the Tennessee perspective, at least 2 of them are going to be Vanderbilt and Alabama. We'll see what the other ones look like at that point. There are some different thoughts on what that could look like. I don't know that I've seen one that doesn't have Vanderbilt and Alabama in it for Tennessee. I have not seen all of them, though, so we'll see what that looks like. Vanderbilt, going to be interesting. You've got, I think, Tennessee for sure as a part of your permanent opponents, and then we'll see kind of what those other 2 look like in the rotation there. But, Joe, just your thoughts of the SEC adopting the 9-game schedule, the policy that goes with it of you better schedule at least 1 out-of-conference Power 4 game involved with it as well, and how this impacts college football, how this could impact the college football playoff and expansion, and where this goes from here.
Yeah, well, the Big Ten can shut the hell up now. I mean, they've got nothing. I mean, I think about, as much as we love Kurt Cignetti last year and that story, that the ridiculous stuff he said at Big Ten Media Day. Well, we're just doing the SEC model. Well, guess what, Kurt? You are scheduling freaking like Northwest, Central, South Tech State 3 times, and then playing your Big Ten schedule. And now the SEC, you got nothing else. You got nothing else to stand on. So I think it's fine. It's long time coming. It's great to see. And, yeah, look, this is what it has to be. It has to be the committee. It has to be – they have this new record strength metric. Fine. I think that's fine. Make it clear that has to be – you have to be rewarded if you actually do schedule another good game on top of your conference schedule. And the ACC still has to figure this out too. They have – with odd number of teams, it's very hard to do that. But – You need to play 10. You need to play 10 power teams out of your 12, and that's what everybody needs to be doing. And the Big Ten, they're not all doing that. And so now I would hope that their stupid playoff system would be dead. I haven't heard that. I haven't heard Tony Petitti say, "Hey guys, we're good. Thanks. Sounds good. We'll give that up."
Well, apparently
he's coming out with a 28
to 30. Yeah, no, yeah. Just keep going.
And again, the 28, you know, the whole idea is like the conference championship weekend is toast now, right? Okay. So you can, okay, fine. But he's still coming out with, and 7 for the Big Ten and 7 for the SEC. What? No, no. So every time we talk about anything, I start winding my way toward being mad at the Big Ten. But good for the SEC. I have seen, I'm with you, like our guy Seth Emerson had, and I'm trying to find his thing, but he had Tennessee, you know, Vanderbilt, Alabama, obviously, but then like Kentucky instead of Florida. Like for me, I think it's got to be Florida. I think, you know, that hasn't been as strong, obviously, in recent years. Both of them have had ups and downs, but I just feel like going back to the 90s, that is a real rivalry that should be preserved. I don't know. Maybe you're a Tennessee fan. You tell me. I just think that I understand that the Kentucky-Tennessee goes way back, the beer barrel stuff. But no. I just feel like Florida's the way to go.
Well, that's the one I want to see. For Tennessee's 3, I want it to be Alabama, Florida, and Vanderbilt.
I think it's like so clear cut with them.
But the problem is what about Florida? Like, so Florida, we know Florida and Georgia is going to be one. Like, yes. Florida and Georgia will be one.
Right.
So, what are the other two? Like, you know, Florida's crossover when their divisions were a thing was LSU.
LSU, Florida is.
So, what's that going to look like? You know, LSU, they, you know, you can make an argument that they want Alabama. Like, who? So, what are Alabama's going to be? Like, is Alabama going to end up stuck with Tennessee, Auburn, and LSU? Like, somebody, like the balance part of this is going to be really interesting to see what that looks like. So I would love for, like, from Tennessee's perspective, for it to be Florida, Alabama, and Vanderbilt. I think two of them are a lock in Alabama and Vanderbilt. I'm not convinced that Florida will be a lock.
Yeah. Again, so Seth has it. Georgia, again, Florida, Georgia, we know that for sure. Auburn and South Carolina for Florida.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people, like, for example, Alabama fans, and this is actually why Saban at first was calling for 9, and then he's like, oh, never mind. I don't want 9 because they're 3. Of course it's Auburn. Of course I think it's Tennessee. And then LSU is also another one where you're like, man, it's got to be that, right? But if that's your 3, over a stretch of time – That's tough compared to somebody who gets, you know, Mississippi State and Vanderbilt and Missouri.
Do you guys think it's fair to have the 3 rivalry games required for every team? Do you think that's a fair, equitable way to make the schedule?
I think it's the way, certainly with some of them, it's just going to be like, and here's your 3rd team. Or even some of them, it's like, here's your 2nd, 3rd team. But I think then you can,
like,
make
are
the,
we stretching for 3? Does it need to be 3?
Well, the reason that you do 3 is so that then the rest of the schedule makes sense every year. You know you have these 3, and then, okay, now you're rotating the other 6 games. You know what I mean?
Sure,
If you do 2 here, 1 here, it gets a little bit wonky. I mean, look.
But to Ian's point, like, we know, like, for Vanderbilt specifically, we know Tennessee is going to be one. Like, Vanderbilt and Tennessee is going to be one of those games. What are the other two for Vanderbilt? Like, who are the other two that, like, if you're a Vanderbilt fan, do you have, like, a really strong opinion of, oh, it needs to be Ole Miss, like, or whatever? Like, who are the next two for Vanderbilt?
Yeah, and that, I don't think that there's any, and maybe I'm wrong, Vanderbilt fans want to weigh in on that. Again, Seth has Ole Miss and Missouri as their other two.
Yeah.
I guess I could look at it like, yeah, like a Missouri, Kentucky, the SEC East, lower half of the SEC East.
But then, like you said, Joe, you get people complaining about how their 3 are always Alabama, Georgia, and whoever versus, right. Oh, you get to play Kentucky, Vandy, and,
like,
Missouri.
Somebody in this is going to get screwed. Like, there's no doubt. Like, somebody, you're going to look at it and it's going to be like, wow, we get to play Alabama, Georgia, and whoever else. And meanwhile, South Carolina is over here playing Missouri, Mississippi State, and Arkansas. Awesome. Good stuff.
Yeah. No, for sure. And then it also gets into, well, we have seen Missouri win the SEC. You know, we have seen, I mean, we're seeing Vanderbilt now, right? Most teams would be like, yes, we'll take Vanderbilt. And I think that's, like, I feel like that's good balance for Tennessee if it's like Alabama, Florida, Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's fair, right? One traditionally lesser program, but then you also will have teams that cycle up and down. I mean, Texas, like, to me, it's obvious, right? It's going to be Oklahoma. It's going to be Texas A&M. It's going to be Arkansas.
Yeah.
And I think that makes sense, and it's balanced, and that's why I like three. You know, they're an example of a team where I think three is good. I think Tennessee, I think those should be the three.
I mean, Auburn's the one I look at that has a chance to really get screwed here.
Oh, yeah. Because
it's Alabama for sure. Auburn-Georgia right? is the oldest
Auburn,
rivalry
Georgia,
in the South.
Auburn-Georgia has so, to be
like,
preserved.
It's got
to
be in
yeah.
there, right?
Yeah.
So Auburn's like, one, two, right
oh,
there.
Good. Alabama and Georgia every year, and then whoever the third one ends up being.
Yeah, because Seth gave them Florida as their third, and they're a team where it's like, can you throw a little Mississippi State their way?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, Mississippi States are obviously Ole Miss. You got your Egg Bowl.
Yeah.
And then Kentucky and South Carolina. I feel like maybe a Mississippi State, I mean, Ole Miss, Kentucky, South Carolina. I mean, if you're them, you're like, we'll make bowl games more over 10 years or 20 years than we would have otherwise. But I think you need to stick them with somebody good. Like, go ahead and give Florida, Mississippi. Yeah, some of these are just going to be like to try to create balance.
Yeah. No, I'm really interested to see the scheduling part of it and the way it plays out there. And then now that they've moved to nine games, they've got the Power Four requirement there too. You know, how much is strength of schedule going to be weighed? Because, you know, we talked about that at the end of last year with the college football playoff when you had, you know, Alabama and everybody yelling about strength of schedule and Nick Saban yelling about strength of schedule and all those things. Indiana got in, which is very controversial. So, like, I think you can also go too far the other way on the strength of schedule stuff. Like, you know, if you're 8-4, but your strength of schedule is really good, and this other team's 11-1, are you going to put the 8-4 team in? Like, I'm really interested to see what that looks like when decision making comes down.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see an 8-4 over an 11-1, but I do think a 9-3 over an 11-1 is possible. And I think in some instances it's warranted. Again, last year, Alabama's fine, and then they play like crap and looked awful and lost to Oklahoma. And it's like, well, you shouldn't be in.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't have been. But, yeah, it's a good question. Look, it's still going to be human. It's going to be subjectivity. It's going to be humans making decisions, and I still prefer that to, again, this idea that Petitti has that, look, the standings should make the – well, again, the standings in a league that's so big that one schedule is a million miles from another schedule.
It's unbalanced, yeah.
I mean, Cameron's saying playing nine Big Ten games is not comparable to playing nine SEC games. Well, I think you're right, Cameron, in terms of your general average of the SEC is better. However, I can show you a Big Ten schedule that is absolutely tougher than an SEC schedule if you want to let me go ahead and put them together. And the SEC schedule gets Mississippi State and Kentucky and whatever, and the Big Ten schedule gets Oregon and Ohio State and Penn State and Michigan. I mean, that's possible, too. That's the problem here. These leagues are too big.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the college football discussion. We did have some games this past weekend. We'll get Joe's thoughts on that, plus our first look at Vanderbilt and Tennessee and their season opening games coming up next weekend. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up here in just a few minutes at 7:45. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8 o'clock. We will get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Joe, we had week zero in college football this past weekend. Did get a top 25 matchup to begin week zero, which is not always the case. Iowa State gets the 24-21 win in Ireland against Kansas State. And I know it was in Ireland because it was raining. And apparently in Dublin it rains over 150 days per year. And I was like, yep, that about checks out. That adds up.
Feels like we were watching the Open.
Well, no, yeah, it did feel like that. And also the broadcast, I think, said that they were in Ireland approximately once every play. I was like, hey, guys. After about the second quarter, I was like, guys, we understand that the game is in Ireland. We don't have to talk about it every play. I get it. The game is in Ireland. Let's stop playing games in Ireland. As a college football fan, we don't need to see any games in Ireland. That's just me.
Second
and
nine.
I don't want to single out Ireland either. I don't need to see any games anywhere not in the continental United States for college football. I'll be honest with you.
Top of the first down to you.
Yeah, really good stuff. There's nothing the people of Ireland want to see more than Iowa State and Kansas State out there.
I like the Ireland games. What's wrong? I like that. You don't like it?
I think it's kind of cool. I don't. The NFL doesn't need to play in Brazil. We can go down this road. I know why they're doing it, and it's not going to stop.
Yeah.
But I don't like it.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I kind of like the Ireland thing. I mean, at least this year we didn't have to hear like McAfee talk about the 19 Guinnesses he drank the night before.
That's true.
You know, we just had a nice little studio show and kind of leave it at that. I don't know. But the rain factor, that is one of those things. But then again, Ian just brought up the open. Why? Let's not play golf then. Let's not play golf over there. You know.
Well, combine the weather with the first game.
Golf's invented. That's
the
true.
First game of the season, no preseason action, plus the weather. It was just a combination for some sloppy stuff to start.
It was pretty rough. It was a fun game.
It was. It ended up being good. The first couple of quarters, I was like, oh, boy.
Right. It's just going to be a fumble fest. And then it kind of cleared up a little bit. Sucks that Dylan Edwards got hurt and made a terrible decision to try to field that punt because that guy is one of the most electric players in college football. That might have made the difference in the game. But I like Iowa State, man. Rocco backed. Matt Campbell, one of those guys. Everybody speculated he's going to take this job or that job, the Texas job, and that's a solid football team. A nice Farmageddon in Ireland, yeah. Which they changed to Farm-O-Geddon.
Yeah, thank God.
Get it?
Yes. Dan Mullen gets a win in his return to coaching at UNLV, so yep. Congratulations to Dan Mullen for their victory against Idaho State.
Yep, Dan Mullen, that was dicey. That was dicey for sure. West Kentucky with the big win. I watched all of Hawaii-Stanford, and I thoroughly enjoyed that game. I just loved that little stadium. Pretty cool story with first of all, I'm not going to try to butcher the kid's name, who's their quarterback, but I thought that he had a season-ending knee injury. Yeah. It looked so bad. It ended up being a foot, and he's gutting it out. Playing and still making plays. Timmy Chang's got himself a QB there that, like, Hawaii, I think, is going to be a program to watch with him as coach and with him as quarterback. The Hawaii's been pretty good about churning out the quarterbacks here. But I'm actually getting this from a Wetzel tweet because it is such a cool story. Kansei Matsuzawa is from Tokyo. At age 20, he's a waiter at a Morton Steakhouse. So he's in the U.S. He went to an NFL game. Then he just went and started watching YouTube videos to teach himself how to kick.
Yeah.
Hocking College, Hocking, Nelsonville, Ohio. He went there to kick, spoke no English, had so little money he gave himself haircuts. Again, I'm reading Wetzel's tweet. And then he just boots the game winner to beat.
Pretty cool.
Pretty freaking awesome.
That's college football, man.
It is.
Good stuff.
Like college football, the heart of college football is still alive.
It is. It is. And by the way, an amendment. I did say the continental United States is where football should be played. You can include Alaska and Hawaii. They can also play college football.
Okay. That's nice of you.
Cole pointed out, like, what's wrong with Hawaii? They can't play football down there? They can't.
And if Caleb points out, then you have the Avery Johnson's dad and brother.
Great day for Avery Johnson.
Absolute scrap in the streets of Dublin.
I was going to say, I like that Avery Johnson. Good name. Reminds me of the throwback basketball player.
The basketball. Yep.
And then when amazing lettuce.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
just amazing hair.
Oh, absolutely.
Pretty solid player.
And then his dad and brother
and
just
got into it.
Just throwing hands out there in the streets of Ireland.
In the middle of the rain puddle. Yeah.
Was it the kid who had the dad pinned down?
I think so.
It's so unfair. Both of my sons could beat the crap out of me right now. Very
But
depressing.
I was watching that closely because, as you'll remember, Joe, when Nico Iamaleava bolted Tennessee, it was like, all right. You know, what quarterback is Tennessee going to go find? And a lot of Tennessee fans are like, Avery Johnson, go get him. Let's go get him. And that did not happen. I believe Avery Johnson got a raise out of it, too. So good for him.
Yeah, Avery Johnson.
Luke Altmyer.
Luke Altmyer from Illinois. You know, these are the obvious possibilities. So, but the Johnsons have put out a statement apologizing. I feel bad for Avery. The guy lost a heartbreaker of a game.
Yeah.
Then it's like you got to have this just – endless flight back to Kansas, and then it's like, oh, by the way, the internet's talking about your dad and brother beating the crap out of each other.
Your family
outside a bar in Dublin
fighting in the street. So there you go, Avery. Have a good time out there.
Tough scene. Good question by someone, but Cameron, what is up with we have rain at plenty of games here in America?
Yes,
and the paint doesn't just immediately wash away.
I don't understand it. You know, the Packers and the Eagles opened up the season last year in for the NFL on that Friday night game, which, first off, don't like that, but Friday night game in Brazil, and the field was just an absolute atrocity out there. It's just terrible. I mean, you had lines that were not straight on the side. You had the field was all, you know, just kind of chopped up. Jordan Love ended up, like, basically tearing his groin off at the end of it. Like, it was awful. And I was like, stop playing these international games if you guys can't get the field to work down there.
I mean, that's got to be, that should be priority one, right? It's like,
well, they have like, their fields are made for like soccer stuff. Yeah. Sure. So maybe there's a difference there.
But if you're going to bring your sport, yeah, and they talked about that, like maybe they need to do longer cleats. But if you're going to bring your sport to that country, and again, it does bring in like Iowa State and Kansas State, they travel to this thing, right?
Put it in a place where you can accommodate.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you got the playing surface. That should be pretty obvious, right? Like, get it exactly right. Yeah. And then you, yeah.
I mean, didn't FIFA make it like a stipulation that had to be all grass fields?
Yeah.
For the Olympics or something, or the World Cup?
For the World Cup, yes.
So, you know, they're not a fan of the rubber, coconut, pellet, dirt stuff or whatever around here.
They're not. But congratulations to Iowa State. I think they are now, they don't play another ranked team again until like mid-November. So we could see Iowa State going a bit of a run here.
But remember, rankings are often wrong. Yes. And so someone they play who, you know, like again last year, everybody looked at Indiana on their schedule like, oh, well, there's a sure win for us.
Tennessee, a 13.5-point favorite against Syracuse coming up this weekend. We will get deeper into this game as the week goes on. Vanderbilt opening up their season as well. I think the last time I saw the Vanderbilt line, they were like a 39.5-point favorite. I will double check to see where that's at.
My goodness.
At the moment. But both Vanderbilt and Tennessee opening up their season this weekend. Joey Aguilar named the starting quarterback for Tennessee. So the Joey Aguilar era will begin on Saturday against Syracuse, and very interested to see how he plays. By the way, I was wrong. Vanderbilt, a 36.5-point favorite against Charleston Southern. So there you go.
Was that all?
Yeah, just 36.5.
Okay. Is that all? Man, that sounds like a nice stat patter to start out for them. But look, Vanderbilt playing teams like this, of course they do every year. I'd like to know – like, I feel like typically Vanderbilt's like a 19-point favorite against a team like that, right? Am I wrong? I don't know.
Look, I couldn't tell you the first thing about Charleston Southern. I have no idea. So
all I know is that Charleston is awesome. I know that. So, but yeah, Tennessee Syracuse is going to be really interesting. Yeah, like you said, we're going to get more into it. But Joey Aguilar, I'm wrong on my starting quarterback prediction. But they needed him to come in, take that job, and elevate what they could be at the position.
Yep.
So that's going to be a really interesting game. Like, Syracuse isn't bad, and I think Fran Brown's doing a good job there. They've got some talent, so I really don't know what to expect. Except I think Tennessee's defense gives them a floor that should be pretty high this year.
Yeah.
And be able to, like, grind through a game like that, even if you got a long way to go on offense.
I mean, again, you got that at 11 o'clock Saturday, Texas Ohio State at 11 o'clock Saturday. You got Alabama Florida State at 2:30. You got Clemson LSU Saturday night. It's a great weekend
and you got
for college football.
Notre Dame is Sunday, right?
Yeah.
No, it's fantastic.
It's going to be an awesome weekend. Looking forward to it. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Corey Curtis from News 2 with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
No doubt about it.
I hate Nick Switcher with my heart.
I'm a great interviewer, as you said.
Play grab ass for 8 hours and then go home with nothing.
A mayo-flavored Gatorade.
You're trying to turn out propaganda. I want to see what's really happening. Top of the first down to you.
Yeah.
Give me the go. I want the go.
I don't know that I have especially pointy nipples.
It is that time of the week, the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. He was off last week. We missed his rants. He's back. Joe Rexroad. With that in the background, including a great part of the mashup there that Ian had with that leprechaun video. One of the first videos on YouTube I ever watched.
That's quick work.
It's great stuff. Joe, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Well, a lot of people are asking about the gout, so I'll give you a start with a gout update. It's doing better. I'm fine. I think I have a foot thing, so that may be separate or whatever. But I did have another attack right that week, which was unbelievable. So I got a lot of stuff to work out, but I got to give a shout out to my guy Roger at the Bone and Joint in Owensville. Now Roger is a friend of a friend. I've hung out with Roger socially, so it was a little weird when he came in with this humongous needle. He said, "Drop trowel, I'm going to stick this in your ass." But it had Toradol and steroids in it, and man, that sucker hurt. And then I got in the car, and I was like, oh, my God, my ass is burning. But let me tell you something. I woke up the next day.
It's already clipping it, and I can see it. This is awesome.
I woke up the next day, and it was way better, man.
That's
like,
good.
Like it cleaned these acid crystals out of my foot, like, pretty freaking well. Not completely, but – shout out to Roger. Really appreciate it. I mean, if not, last week, I don't even know what I would have done. I was moving in two kids, one to a dorm, one to an apartment. I have a series of rants that I could, like, spin off about my whole vacation last week, okay? But I'll start with so there's this place. You know, do I name the business? Do I name the – see, this is one of those interesting things, Robbie, because it's like
– it's not here, is it?
It's not here, but this stuff is on the internet, right?
It is.
And I don't want, like – trouble for my kid, you know, and his buddies at their new apartment.
You do what you feel you need to do.
Well, there's this apartment complex in East Lansing, and it's quite a bit north of campus. It's a couple miles north of campus, okay? So most you think about campus housing around these colleges and some of these apartments like right by campus. I'm going Michigan State's what I know, but you know I think there's some universal threads here. Just absolute bleep holes, right? I mean, I walked Brennan, I walked him to my old house off campus last week. Like, hey, check it out, man. And we walked right by it. And this freaking place, 325 Division, should have been condemned when I lived in it more than 30 years ago. And it's just the same exact house. And people are paying rent to live in this thing. It's just like barely held together. And it's like, so there's like six college kids living in this absolute trash heap, but the location's great. So this apartment complex where my oldest Jack is living, like I remember when it came out. You know, it was about 25 years ago, out of college, but, you know, it was like, oh, this is the super, it has a pool, and it has a gym, and it's like really nice apartments, and it's like, so, you know, if you're willing to live off a little bit, I mean, this is like luxury living for like a college kid, right? Okay. So that's what I have in my head.
Sure.
As we go into, and they're furnished. These are furnished apartments. So that means that you get furniture, like leather couches, you get like a TV. They're like, wow, okay, that sounds great. So we take our first load over there the day that you load of
moving equipment.
Clothes,
supplies,
furniture. You know, we got the truck loaded up and we head over there and I'm like, yeah, it looks a little tired around here a little bit. Yeah, it's like 25, 30, you know, 25-ish years old, but okay, it looks a little tired. Walking in the place, like, man, boy, they beat this place up pretty good, huh? I mean, I don't even know if I've ever been there before. It's just you heard about how awesome it was. Go in the place. Yeah, there's a couch. Now, it only has two of three cushions, but there is a furnished couch there. TV? Nope. TV's not there. But you know what is there? A huge maggot infestation. Just a big old pile of maggots. Like apparently someone, I don't know, left like food in a cupboard or something. So this place is infested with maggots. It's dirty. It doesn't have the stuff. It's a complete disaster. And there are freaking maggots. And I guess, yeah, I won't bore you with the rest of the story. I mean, basically like everybody got the hell out of there. Jack's girlfriend's dad has like an oxidizer, so he got the oxidizer going. Hopefully that killed maggots, but not people. Apparently, Jack was like, is this like dangerous? I don't know, but apparently the oxidizer got going. Finally, after standing in line for hours, which I stood in the line for this is before we knew about the maggots to complain about other stuff. Then we found out when we found the maggots later. they finally got someone out there, so I think everything's okay. But it's like, I mean, the conditions that these landlords and these people at college towns are providing for these kids. Look, it is what it is. People are going to pay the rent. They're going to show up. They need a place to live. They want to get out of the dorms and all that stuff. My God, man, it is so bad. Like, if anybody out there could tell me, you know, like at UT or anywhere around here, Middle Tennessee, Vandy, whatever, like off-campus housing, are there nice places left? I would like to know. Because I mean, at Michigan State, man, I can't find much.
I've been to some doozies in Knoxville, for sure. I mean, Murfreesboro, back in the day. Although I drove, when we were going to MTSU a couple weeks ago, I was driving around. I was like, man, there's some nice off-campus apartments and housing all the way around here right now that are not, were not there when I was there. A bunch of
new
stuff.
And they look nice.
They look nice.
Yeah.
Real good stuff. I mean, the other part of that, like you say, 25 years ago with the apartment, it also highlights, I think, just how much damage college students can do over the course of a 25-year span.
Yeah, right. That's true, man. Like, like these places that you see that are brand new that are nice. How much time do they have? What does 1 year?
Not very
what
much.
Does 1 year do? And I understand, what do college kids do? They're messy. I'm generalized, but you know, I mean, I look at the conditions I lived in happily for years, and it's like, how? My grandparents came and went to a football game with us, and my grandpa just came in, looked at the couch, and just went boom and hit it really hard, and dust filled the room for people had leave. I mean, it was this is if you walked on the carpeting with your socks, they would be tar black in 5 minutes. And yeah, we're like, oh yeah, this is great.
It's fine.
It's awesome. We're having a kegger Friday. So yeah, but so, yes, this is what college kids do. It is – I mean, maybe 25 years later, I shouldn't be that surprised, but I was like
– Maggots is a little much.
Maggots is a little much. And I apologize to the texter who says, well, so much for breakfast. I'm sorry.
So did they – was a TV eventually provided? You tell me a TV is going to be in the apartment and the TV is not in the apartment? We're going to have a big problem.
I mean, I finally had to get out of there Saturday. Katie's still up there dealing with – I think they have that stuff. But we're also trying to, you know, get a car after crashing another car, because we've crashed 4 cars in the last year.
So, a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. But don't worry, I have other rants on my vacation that are possible. So
it's good.
Yep.
Good vacation when you come back with just a laundry list of rants that you could come with.
Hey, I tell you what, though, I did buckle despite the gout, and I did have the olive burger at the peanut barrel because I'm like, I don't care. If I have to have a gout attack, I'm going to have this olive burger, and I was okay.
Well, now you've got a remedy. Just go up down there in Nolensville, get a shot right in the butt, and you'll be fine.
That's right. Roger, get that needle ready for me.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.